This is a true story. A man who didn't think a whole lot of himself because he only had an eighth grade education. And if you look at history, there are a lot of men and women who have not had a college degree, but have been very successful in life and have provided for their families in a wonderful way, started some businesses that raked in millions of dollars. So it isn't all in the education that we have. But this gentleman was acquainted somewhat with an attorney. And on one day, the Holy Spirit said to him, I want you to go to this attorney and I want you to talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he got an appointment with the attorney, and he went to the attorney's office and he sat down with him and began to talk to him about his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that he brought up, the attorney had an answer for. So the conversation ended in a pretty dismal way. The man felt like he just didn't have the answers to come back with what the attorney had to say. So at the end of the conversation, he said, I just want you to know that I came here today because I love you. Dejected, he went home, said to his wife, I just want to go to my room and be alone for a while. About an hour later, the attorney showed up at his house, knocked on the door and said, I'd like to see him. And the wife said, he's not seeing anybody today. He said, well, you tell him who I am. And so this young man came out and talked to the attorney again. And he said, why are you here? Do you want to argue with me some more? Do you want to make me feel foolish because I can't answer all of your questions? And he said, no, there's one thing that you said that I cannot refuse. I cannot answer it. What was that? You said, I love you, and I want to know about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know how it is to be saved. I can't argue with what you said. I couldn't argue in any way about the fact that you said you loved me. That's a real lesson for us. People don't always need our arguments. They need our love. And when they understand that we really love them, it takes away all of the stuff that they would give us for not accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm beginning a new series of messages today, entitled Priorities for Following Jesus. Webster's Dictionary defines priorities like this: superior in rank, position or privilege, and something which ranks above competing alternatives. You might have to think about that definition for a little while, because it's so true. Something which ranks above competing alternatives. What is your priority? What is my priority? What things rank above our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? What ranks above our sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others? That's a really good definition. But it takes some thinking and some planning on our part. The message of Jesus Christ is all about love. And I'm talking about agape love, I'm talking about not always feelings, but agape love is the love that does what is right under every circumstance. God so loved the world. Wow. Above everything else, God so loved the world. Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross because he loved us, and he still does. But that is quite a contrast as to how most Jews lived in the day of Jesus Christ. They lived under law. The Old Testament gives 613 laws, and they were trying to keep every one of them and failing miserably. So when it came to this concept of love, the Jews were not in love with the Lord. The Jews were in love with themselves. And I see that that is a dominant issue in the day in which we live. We tend to be more concerned about ourselves than we are about the Lord Jesus Christ. Their religion was all an outward show. And this is going to prepare us for Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 28 through 21. Here's what the scripture says. Then they, that we're talking about the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees, looked for a way to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. They hated him. They had a disguised love, but in all reality, they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. He interfered with their position. He interfered with their teaching. He interfered with everything that they were. And so they hated him. They pretended that they loved him, but in all reality, they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they, the religious leaders, looked for a way to arrest him because they knew he had spoken a parable against them. And I won't get into that parable this morning, but it certainly was a parable that pointed out exactly what they were. And they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. That's all they were interested in, this pretended love and this pretended desire to know something was only a cover-up because they wanted Jesus to say something wrong so that they could say, oh, you cannot be the Messiah. So they tried really hard to catch him in something. So the Herodians came to him and said, Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. Hypocrisy at its very best. We know that you are a man of integrity. They didn't believe that Jesus was integrity, had any integrity at all. But they thought they would kind of smooth the path to get to him and to teach him something, get from him something that they could use against him. So, teacher, you are a man of integrity. Then they asked him, should we pay taxes to Caesar? Now, the Jews hated paying taxes to Rome. You cannot believe how much they hated paying taxes to Rome. And so Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. They were dumbfounded by that. It was an answer that they did not expect. And so at that point, they had to shut up. But they weren't going to give up at all. Next, the Sadducees. And by the way, Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. They made up a story. And it's amazing how many people take this story as a reality. They said, this woman had seven husbands. Now remember, they didn't believe in the resurrection. But they said to Jesus in the resurrection, whose husband will she be? Who will be her husband in the resurrection? And Jesus said, you people don't know anything about the resurrection. And they certainly did not. But they constantly were trying to hang Jesus with some false statement that they could use against him. Finally, one of the scribes came to Jesus. He did have some sense. And he heard all the things that were going on as Jesus gave an answer to the many questions that he was asked when people were trying to trap him. And he said, man, I heard what you were saying, and it was really good. And so he said, I have a question for you. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? And that brings us really to what we want to talk about today. The most important one. Oh, I guess I kind of got behind. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? Here's what Jesus said. This is the most important of the commandments. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. That doesn't necessarily mean the person who lives next door to you. This word in the Greek means everybody. You are to love all people as you love yourself. And you know, we're pretty careful about loving ourselves, aren't we? You know, a lot of people have to have clothes that they've purchased at a huge price that has the right kind of name. We kind of take care of ourselves because we care for ourselves. Jesus' simple answer to the religious leaders of his day is agape, love, a twofold love. Love God, love your neighbor, or love others. Probably a better translation. Those religious leaders knew the scripture that comes from Deuteronomy 6th chapter in the 4th verse. They recited it almost every day. They recited it, but they didn't do it. It was just words that they recited. And especially if they were standing in the streets with their phylacteries on so that people could hear them quote the scripture and see them standing in the street and thinking, oh my, how wonderful and how religious they are. We repeat the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. Does it mean anything? Or do we just repeat the Lord's Prayer because it's become a tradition? If that's all it is, we've missed the mark. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do we do that? Well, that's what Jesus taught in the scriptures that we're going to be looking at. So, Number one, love your God with all your heart. Wow. Love your God with all your heart. That has to do with our emotions. What do you get excited about emotionally? Stop and think. What really makes me emotional? That's what it is to love God with all your heart. Our love for God should touch our most inmost being. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, we should cry. We are to be touched emotionally by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what heart is about. Love your God with all your heart. Not a teeny tiny bit, but with all your heart. But ask yourself, what does my heart really get emotional about? What are the things that really cause me to want to be intimate? Is it with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it with something else? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. We should have a continual longing to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are so many things out here and out there that grab us and cause us to be more interested and more emotional about other things. Love your God with all your soul. Soul comes from the Greek word psuche, and it has to do with our actions. It's the soul in which we do our thinking. Wow. Our love for Christ must be authentic. And that has to do with our soul. It must be a love that goes beyond words and is seen in our actions. That's what the soul is all about. That's where we determine what we're going to do. And so Jesus said, love your God with all your heart. Love your God with all your soul. Man, stop and think about what you did this week. What were your actions like this week? Were they actions that brought honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? I know I failed. I thank God for his forgiveness. We must confess those sins, and because the scripture says if you confess your sin before God, he will forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness and put us back on the right trail. So love your God with all your soul. That's a tough one. Love your God with all your mind. We are not to have mindless love for the Lord. We are to think about it. We are to use our mind to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to use our mind in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Wow. Love your God with all your strength. Every ounce of our being should be put into the love that we have for the Lord. Now, I know that this sounds really difficult. All of this sounds difficult. I didn't teach it. The Lord Jesus Christ taught it. And we have the responsibility to follow what Jesus Christ teaches. Wow. And then, the second is this. love others or love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. So the scribe who came to Jesus and asked the question got a profound answer. And that answer is for us today. These two commandments are intertwined. You cannot have one without the other. But isn't it wonderful that it's reduced to two? Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. If we put those into our heart and into our mind and repeat them every day, not as the Jews did to find something wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ, but put them in our hearts so that we can live a better, more powerful life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Here's what the Apostle John says. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he hath seen cannot love God whom he hath not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. It is so sad, so very sad, in 61 years of counseling, to listen to people who hate another brother or sister in Christ. John is right here. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. It doesn't make any difference what has been done to you or done to me. We cannot retaliate with hate, but we retaliate with love. Agape love. That's not easy, but it's so profound. How does love manifest itself? According to the scripture, that one isn't clicking. Yeah, there it is. Love is patient. How many of us have a hard time with patience? I know I do. But it says that love is patient. Love is kind. You know, the word thank you seems to have drifted away from our vocabulary. Even in the context of our family, we shared some things with the boys who are going to seminary. No thank you. That's what kindness is. Love does not envy or boast. It's amazing how many people talk about themselves constantly and continually. I am a great person. I did this. I was educated here. Oh, on and on and on. Love is not proud or rude. Never should love be rude. Or proud. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Whoa. How many of you in your mind right now look back and you think about somebody who has wronged you? It's still in your mind. But the scripture says, love keeps no record of wrongs. it should not be there. Love is not easily angered. Wow. Those are difficult. There's no question about it. In his book, Mere Christianity, I like C.S. Lewis. I hope you do too. Do not waste your time wondering whether you love somebody. Do something for them. That's how you manifest your love. Do something for them. Do things which demonstrate love. Just don't say, I love you. Demonstrate your love. As soon as we do that, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you loved someone, you will presently come to love them. If you have somebody in your life that you don't really care about, do something kind for them. And pretty soon you'll learn to love them. In 16th century England, Oliver Cromwell ordered that a soldier be shot for his crimes. And he was to be shot in the evening when the bell rang. The evening came and the bell did not ring. The man's beloved, the man had a woman who loved him immensely. She climbed up into the bell, put her hands around the clapper so that when the bell rang, it would make no sound. Cromwell interviewed her and saw her bruised and bloody hands and asked her what all about. She said, I love him. And I didn't want him to be shot. So I made sure that the bell did not ring. Cromwell said, I've never seen anything like this before. And because of it, this man you love so much will not be shot. So it was the love that she had for him. She just didn't stand on the ground and say, I love you. She climbed up into the bell, put her hands around the clapper, and made sure that the bell did not ring. That's a true situation, by the way. It's not some kind of a made-up story. Do you want to see the church grow? You know, it's interesting to me what churches are doing these days. We were down in Derby taking Connie Wicks back to Ron and Jenny's abode where she was going to catch the plane to her next destination. Ron told me about the church that they attend. And he said, the leaders made an interesting decision. Well, I said, what decision was that? First, I asked him, what kind of attendance do you have? He said, well, we used to have about 800. Now we're down to 500. So we have voted to go youthful. I said, you voted to go youthful? Yeah, we voted to go youthful. I said, what does that mean? Well, first of all, we got rid of the old pastor. Yeah. And we did away with hymns. And we got ourselves a band and drums and the whole nine yards. We got ourselves a really young pastor because we believed that he would draw in young families with children. I said, is it working? No. He said, it isn't working, but that's what we're trying to do. It's amazing what churches are doing to try to grow. And this passage of Scripture tells us what it is. If people come here, we love them. We have to make an effort to reach out and love them. People are desperate for love these days. Honestly, I talk to people who are desperate for love. The love of God is what they're after. That's how we grow the church, by loving. Loving each other so that when people come in here, they can sense the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Is right. A young successful executive named Josh was traveling down a neighborhood street. Wow, was he proud. He had just purchased a brand new black Jaguar. Wow. All of a sudden, boom, something hit his side door. It was a brick, and he stopped the car and jumped out, and he saw this little boy standing on the curb, and he was going to wail him to pieces. And the boy said, "I'm so sorry," but nobody would stop, so I threw the brick because my brother fell out of his wheelchair, and he's down the block. And he's too heavy for me to put in the wheelchair and take him home. So I had to do something to get somebody to stop and help me. Josh went and helped get this young man back into his wheelchair. And he never, ever fixed the dent in his car. He wanted a reminder of the fact that people need help. He had a reminder all the time that people need to be loved. Maybe you need to throw a brick in the dent of your car, the side door of your car, I don't know. Maybe I need to do the same thing. We need to be conscious of what God wants. There are 10 major commandments, but he boiled it down to 2. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And the second is like it. Love others as yourself. So, my question this morning as we close, will we all make love a priority in our lives starting today? If that is not in our lives today, are we going to make it a priority? I see a lot of love in this congregation, and I'm so thankful for that. There are many, many, many times when we observe the love of people in our church as they reach out and love each other. Praise the Lord. Our love for Christ must be seen in how we treat others. Love must be our priority. That's how we grow. It isn't by voting to be a young church, doing away with hymns, having a great big loud band. I know that some people love that. Others don't. So make love your priority as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation. Wow. I have decided to follow Jesus. That's what it's all about, isn't it?